News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. It is Tuesday morning, and it's time for Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and a little something for a friend of ours who is here this morning joining us. We have special requests, and let me see if I can get this thing playing for us here.
No need. He can sing it.
All right, here we go. There it is. I was trying to find. There you go.
There you go.
Okay. A little Running on Empty from Jackson Browne. Right. Okay, there you go. Now I got you.
It just doesn't get better than Jackson Browne.
See there? Okay. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's experts panel, and the Garden Line.
Before we leave Jackson Browne,
yes,
I've got to ask Skip, how many Jackson Browne concerts have you gone to?
I've lost count. It's somewhere in the 6 to 8 range.
Can you believe?
Oh, that's awesome.
that is
awesome.
So much fun. Well, this is a special edition.
There you go.
Of the Garden Line.
The Garden
here
Line.
With Skip. Every year, Skip comes and we talk camellias, and Skip brings these gorgeous blossoms that we've got here.
If y'all could see them, they're just beautiful. All different colors.
And we've
it's
always
like Christmas
said,
in here.
Yeah, we've always said the challenge.
Well, if you guys are on the ball, you're going to take some photos and put them on your website, and people can go to that and take a look.
Okay, we'll see if we can figure out a way to do that.
We can surely do that. Of course, the challenge is with these gorgeous camellias that Skip brings in is to describe them on the radio.
true, but you could probably,
Skip, he'll do it. He'll do it. It'll be a lot of fun. Before we start, and really I formally introduce Skip to those listeners who have never heard Skip on the radio before, real quick weather note, it is raining out there. Be very careful as you drive. We're on that weather roller coaster where we get warm, we get cold, we're going to get cold after this. Then I think we've got a stretch of some really nice weather. But the point is, be sure to keep in mind that watering. If it just doesn't rain much today, you might want to start thinking about watering the lawn. Just take that thing off all manual and click it on and water it for about 30 minutes. But the most important things to water are, one, your Christmas tree. Be sure you put that water in that Christmas tree, because 30 minutes of a dry time, if that Christmas tree is dry 30 minutes, it'll callus over and won't absorb any more
just
water.
30 minutes? That's
30,
all?
30 minutes. That's what the experts say. And your poinsettias. Remember now, they have hollow stems, and so we need to water them, and we use the scientific method, which is stick your finger in that dirt, and if it's moist, you're okay. If not, you need to water it. And all your outdoor plants. I know for a fact, you've got some too, tropical plants that I'm just going to leave to Mother Nature this winter, and we'll see how they work. So far, it's okay, but they dry out very, very fast. So a little water discussion here is where we want to go. Now, how about camellias? What do you think?
I want to hear all about it, but introduce your guest, sir.
Let me introduce Skip.
Formally.
Okay. I've always said Skip is a Renaissance man. I mean, he really is. Skip was the director of all the YMCAs in the entire Northwest Florida for many years, has been a driving force in Habitat for Humanity. Same with the Humane Society. And in the tennis world, Skip is a rock star. There's no doubt about it. He will put on tennis tournaments and has put them on for a lot of nonprofits.
Okay.
But also puts on one tennis tournament where people come from all over the world to play tennis in his tournament.
I didn't know that.
Over at Roger Scott. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only professional tournament each year.
Okay.
Yeah, we have.
What's the name of that one, Skip?
The USTA Men's 25K is what it's called, the Pensacola Championship. And literally, we have players from all over the world, most of them ranked approximately 300 to 500 in the world.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's amazing, it really is.
And we've had a half dozen or so players come when they were younger, 17, 18 years old, who 3 or 4 years later were playing at the U.S. Open on Arthur Ashe.
No kidding.
Yeah, Sasha Zverev. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Anyway, so you can see Skip has really been involved. But, of course, in the camellia world, Skip has been president of the Pensacola Camellia Club. And I'm going to ask Skip to talk a little bit about the club in just a minute. But we've got to go a lot of directions today, because the big show is coming up very, very shortly. And we need Skip to tell us all about that, a little bit of history of the Camellia Club, a little bit about what the Camellia Club can do for our listeners who may be interested in growing camellias. So we've got some ground to cover this morning.
And what about a little history of camellias in general?
Ooh, that's not bad.
Because some of us are not in the Camellia Club.
That can be done.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I've owned it already. I've owned Skip. I have owned early on with Mike that I do not have a green thumb. So I am like your best listener because I'm hanging on to every word.
And camellias are your best bet because they're hard to hurt.
That's what I need. Anything that's difficult to hurt.
I hold the Pensacola record for how many orchids I have killed.
Oh, please. But don't even.
I can't keep an orchid alive for a year, but I can grow camellias because they're pretty hard to hurt. So you want to know some history?
A little bit, yeah, if you don't mind.
I'm always reluctant because this has become an annual event, and so many of the things we talk about we've said before, so hopefully there's a lot of new listeners. But camellias all began in Asia, and there's three primary types of species of camellias that are here in the Pensacola area. Most of them... The most well-known are the japonicas and the sasanquas. And japonica, name comes from Japan. So they came from Asia, but it started out, if you got up this morning and had a cup of tea, green tea, black tea, you were actually drinking the leaves of a camellia plant.
Really?
Yeah. The tea comes from a specific species of camellias called the sinensis.
Huh.
Camellia sinensis. And so I forget how many years ago, I'm thinking it was 1600s, 1700s, when traders were going back and forth from Europe to Asia and trading and bringing back everything. They brought back tea. And Europe went crazy. England went crazy over tea. And but it was very, very expensive in the trade world from Asia. So the story goes that the British had this bright idea and said, instead of spending this incredible money to bring tea from Asia, what we need to do is buy the tea plants, the sinensis plants, bring them back and grow them here, and we can have our own tea. Well, the folks in Asia, as the story goes, agreed to that. And but instead of selling them Camellia sinensis, they sold them Camellia japonica.
So the japonicas
come back to England, they start growing them, and they start producing these beautiful blooms. But not tea.
So
the Asians got the best of the British on that particular round.
Uh-oh.
But supposedly the story is that's how camellias got to Europe and then years later made it from Europe to the United States.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on News Radio 92.3, The Garden Line, and we're talking camellias this morning. We'll be back right after the break. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. If you've got a question, today is a special day on the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We have Skip in the house who is talking about camellias this morning. And if you would like to text in a question, 850-437-1620. So I'm the novice here, and we're late coming in because we're engaged in a big conversation. So
we have got somewhere for you to go. We've got somewhere for you to go.
Okay.
And that is the Camellia Show.
Yes.
Which is coming up, I mean.
When
very,
is it?
Very shortly.
Saturday.
Well,
this Saturday?
This Saturday.
Oh,
absolutely. And it's put on, I do want it, before we get into all of that, the Camellia Show is special. It really is. It's something that everybody should go to for various reasons. But you have to look at who's putting it on. And that's the Pensacola Camellia Club, which is, Skip, stop me if I'm saying this wrong, is the oldest Camellia Club in the country.
To the best of our knowledge, till somebody proves us wrong, and they've had decades to try, We have the oldest Camellia Club in the United States. It was formed in 1937.
Wow, how cool is that?
And it predates the American Camellia Society, which didn't form until the 1940s.
That's over 80 years old.
That's a very impressive.
It is very impressive.
Very impressive.
They put on this show, which, Skip, I'm going to let you kind of describe what's going on with the Camellia show, because before our hour runs out, which when Skip's here, it just goes so quick. We need to look at some of these camellias over here,
okay,
and talk about the different varieties, how they get their names, all kind of fun things to talk about. But Skip, why don't you talk about the show a little bit? Because I know it goes on a definite schedule.
Yeah, as I said, the show is on Saturday. It's at the Pensacola State campus at the WSRE TV studios.
Oh, the Gene Amos studio there?
Amos studio there. The address is 1000 College Boulevard, right at the corner of 12th Avenue and College Boulevard. And so the show itself begins for visitors to come and see all the blooms from 1 to 4. Before that, we will have camellia fanatics, exhibitors, coming from six different states. We'll have people coming from Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, bringing their best blooms and entering them into the show. And so that takes place in the morning. And then by late morning to early afternoon, the judging begins. Teams of judges go through all the tables. There should be somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 camellias at the show.
Wow.
And then the winning blooms make their way step by step to the awards table, and then everybody can come in and see them at 1 o'clock.
Who are the judges, Skip?
Well, the judges are many of the exhibitors who come from all the states. You have to go through a certification process, and
this is very serious.
This is very modest, too, because Skip has been a judge in the Camellia show, I want to say almost every year, right, Skip?
Yeah, actually just last Saturday, I was in Slidell, Louisiana as a judge for their show over in the New Orleans area.
I had no idea. I've known Skip for a long time, but that is the coolest thing.
Good for you, and cool.
What an honor.
Yeah, and Skip, insofar as judging camellias, just in general, what are some of the criteria that you look for?
Well, what you learn in the judging certification is there are four factors to take into consideration. There's a book called The Nomenclature, and the nomenclature is the official, for lack of a better term, the Bible of the camellias. Every camellia that's registered with the American Camellia Society has a listing in that nomenclature, and it tells everything they can come up with about it, what size it is, what the form is, whether it's a semi-double or a single or an anemone or a peony form, whether it blooms early or late, and then gives lots of details about the shape of the bloom and the color and if there's multicolors. So that's the Bible. And so as the judges judge individual type, let's see, here in town, people that know camellias, one of them that's common and has been for decades is called Methodiana or Purple Dawn. So in that show, there might be a dozen Methodiana Purple Dawns. And the judges have to decide what's the blue ribbon, what's the red ribbon, what's the white ribbon. They base that upon the color, the form, the condition. You know, is it a couple days too old? Is it a couple days early, not quite fully open, and size. Size matters in camellias. Those are the four factors.
That judging really is looking at camellias that were grown in many cases by, I want to call them experts,
right?
People who are really good,
very competitive.
But my point is the camellia show, and really the Camellia Club in general, will cater to that new gardener, to the person who doesn't know a camellia from a tomato plant.
Oh, like moi?
No, that's impossible.
Yeah, no, exactly.
No, I'm
that's
serious. Impossible.
But when they go to a Camellia Club show or meeting, there are people there. There are people from the Camellia Club that can help them get started.
Love
you
that.
You know, to know the different types of camellias, what will grow better in what location, this type of thing, and the different forms, just like Skip was talking about. So if you're a novice or just want to learn a little bit about camellias, attendance to the show is a great place to start.
Well, that's where I started.
Right.
When Diane and I first moved here over 30 years ago and bought a house, I had been befriended by a retired YMCA person. And his name was Oscar Brock. And Oscar Brock took me under his wing to help me get familiar with the community. And he gave us three camellias. He was a camellia nut. In 3-gallon pots, we planted them. Didn't know what to do with them. But they'd bloom once a year. And I guess you got to take a break here. And
we
I'll
do.
Tell
we
got
to take a quick break. So hold that thought. We will be back in just a minute. You're listening to Pep Talk this morning, Pensacola's expert panel. Tuesday is Garden Line. We're talking all things camellia. And if you have a question, you can always text in at 850-437-1620. We'll be back right after the break. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You're listening to Pep Talk this morning with Meg, and it is the Garden Line talking all things camellias today with our special guest, Skip. And you were in the midst of telling a story right before the break.
Yeah, how I got started in camellias. It was purely by accident. As I said, Oscar had given us three camellias that we planted. They'd bloom once a year. We knew nothing about them. I grew up in Kentucky where camellias don't grow. And Diane read in the newspaper that there was the annual camellia show coming up on Saturday. And she said, we ought to go down to the show and see if we could learn how to take better care of these camellias. And I did not want to go. I mean, I did not want to go. I had this vision of walking into a room the size of your living room, and there were a bunch of little card tables with little cups of water and blooms sitting in them. And I did not want to. She dragged me to this show. We walked into the right place at First Methodist Church, gymnasium. The gymnasium was lined row after row after row of folding tables filled with camellias, and I was flabbergasted.
Wow.
Long story short, I bought a couple more camellias. I met the man who became my mentor. And I went, within 3 years, I went from 3 camellias to 250 camellias.
Oh, my gosh.
I have an obsessive compulsive side.
Wow.
That's great. When we come back, we're going to start talking about some of these camellia blooms over here. But real quick, we got a text about the angel trumpet.
Yes, a text about angel trumpet. Yeah, bring it in from the cold.
Yeah, talking about from the cold. I think I could let Mother Nature take its course. It probably should come back next year. But if we get into the low 20s, below that, I would certainly protect it. Because you get that low, then kind of all bets are off about a perennial coming back. So I think you're going to be okay if you leave it alone, unless we get into that intense cold.
Okay, good advice. Very good advice from Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line. So we are here. We're going to get back. When we come back, we're going to talk about very specific blooms and types of camellias and more about the Camellia Show. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. This is the Garden Line on Tuesdays with Mike Wiggins. Got a question? Text it in, 850-437-1620. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and this is Meg, and we are here with the Garden Line today on Tuesday with Mike Wiggins and special guest Skip Vogelsberg. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Vogelsang.
Okay, I knew that was close. We do have, real quick here, we're going to get back to our topic, but we have a pair of tickets to give away this morning to the Pensacola Little Theater's production of A Christmas Story, which opens this weekend, December 13th, and runs through the 22nd. It is the same story of Ralphie and his desire to have that Red Rider BB gun, and all the things that happened in that story are actually in the play, so you can come see it live. If you would like to win those tickets right now, text in at 850-437-1620. The third person who texts in the name of the flower that we are talking about this morning If you can't get that, I'm going to be worried about you. So go ahead and text that in, and I will announce the winner in just a few minutes. All right, gentlemen, continue with the stories.
Okay, here we go. Skip.
Yes, sir.
I got three things I want you to talk about real quick before we went to the committees.
Okay.
One, remind everybody when, where the show is. Two, talk about the sale of the Camellias. Yeah. It goes on at the show. And last, a real quick one here, talk about NCIS, not the TV show, but the one that is associated with Camellias.
Okay.
You have the floor.
All right. Well, the show is this coming Saturday, open to the public from 1 to 4 at the Amos Arts Center in at the Pensacola State Campus, WSRE building. And the sale, long before the show starts, we start selling camellias about 9 o'clock in the morning. And quite honestly, that's how we support our club, is selling camellias. And we'll have a collection of camellias that are really collector varieties, like the ones I have here today, that you can't buy at Lowe's and Home Depot. They buy from wholesalers that produce a dozen right. different varieties, and that's it. And so you can get, what's really cool too, is often you could walk inside the show and see what the bloom looks like even before you buy the plant.
Okay, now that's cool.
Let's see here. And then you want to talk about NCIS.
Yeah, well, I want to get to these camellias, but NCIS to me is always a great service of the Pensacola Camellia.
I'm proud of this. This was one of my few brainstorms in my life. Everybody knows the TV show NCIS. Well, we have Pensacola NCIS, the Neighborhood Camellia Information Squad.
My goodness, do you have jackets and hats and everything? Do you patrol?
It was
have ID badges?
It was discussed, but we never followed through on that. But seriously, there's people buy houses that have camellias on them. They never, kind of like me, never had camellias before, and they want to learn more about them. Or people are having a problem with their camellias. They've got a disease, or they're dying back, and so they can contact the Camellia Club through our website and request a visit from NCIS, and we'll come out and help identify if we come when they're blooming, we'll try to identify what variety they are, put a name tag on them, give advice about pruning, fertilization, just general care of camellias, and it's really fun to do.
And cost is?
Zero.
And right.
The cost of coming to the show is zero. It's admission is free.
Well, that's great.
That is great. Okay, I tell you what let's do. Skip, you have brought these gorgeous camellia blooms. Why don't you start where you would like to start and kind of talk about that particular variety.
All right.
I'm kind of just, do the best description we can do here on the radio, and maybe how it's got its name, and go from there.
All right. Well, people ask, why camellias, and why should you grow camellias? And my answer is, as I said earlier, they're hard to hurt here on the Gulf Coast. They love our climate. It doesn't get too cold to hard freeze and kill them. They only grow about as far north as Atlanta, Birmingham. Once you get further north than that, they're
too cold.
Yeah. But they love our climate. They love our soil. It's acidic. It's generally sandy, and it drains well. So from that standpoint, they're perfect for our area. They also bloom in the wintertime when nothing else is blooming.
That's we have them right out in front of the studio right now. They're
right.
Gorgeous.
Those are the Sasanquas right. out front.
Right. Beautiful.
Did you look at them this morning?
Yes.
The Sasanquas are early blooming, and they start in October, November. Mm. By December, they're kind of finishing up. And then the Japonicas start in right. December, January, February, into March. And we even divide them into blooming seasons, early blooming, mid-season, late season. So if you're adding camellias to your landscape and you pay attention to what the early bloomers are in the mid-season, you can have blooms from October right on through March, and then spring comes and everything else starts blooming.
Wow. Okay, well, the ones that you have in the studio, yeah, they brought buckets of these gorgeous camellias.
Well, what got me when in that first show that I went to, not only was the just the amazing different sizes and shapes and colors, but the how diverse they were, and they're all under the umbrella of camellias. We sized them in five sizes: miniature, small, medium, large, and very large. And so what I'm holding up here is a miniature camellia that is about an inch and a half wide. It's called Night Rider. It is a dark black red semi-double with really nice yellow stamen in the middle.
It's beautiful. I wish you could see it.
Well, hopefully we'll do photos. And so this one is literally no more than an inch and a half wide.
How tall does the plant grow, Skip, on that particular one?
My plant's taller than me.
Is that right?
But keep in mind, yeah, there's another question we can get into is I have to prune. I have so many camellias, and I don't have 10 acres to plant them in, so I have to keep pruning mine to control their growth.
Right.
If you got lots of space or you don't have a lot of camellias, you can let them grow however you like. Prune them or let them grow. At any rate, the next thing I'm holding up here is another variety called Ray Gentry Variegated. It's not a japonica. It's a reticulata, and reticulatas have a tendency to grow much larger than japonicas.
That one is about 10 times larger than the other one.
This one is at least, I'm going to say, 8 inches across.
And a bright, bright pink color. Beautiful. It's gorgeous.
A dark pink and white variegation with a big boss of yellow stamen in the middle. This variety wins a whole lot of shows, as you can imagine.
Okay, I don't know, but how did that gorgeous flower get the name Ray Gentry?
All right, let's talk names for a minute. When somebody comes up with a new, what they think is a new variety worthy of registering as a new variety with the American Camellia Society, usually it comes from a seed. And so that seed, you take off, you know, this plant has a seed on it, and so you know who the parent is. You know who the mom is for that plant. You don't know who the daddy is.
Uh-oh.
Because that flower got pollinated somehow, somewhere. Might have been pollen from the same plant. Might have been from one of the other 250 I have in my yard. And so it's like Forrest Gump said, it's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
All right, I'm on that note. We're going to be back in just a minute to find out how Ray Gentry got his name. You're listening to The Garden Line on Pep Talk. If you've got a question or text, 850-437-1620.
We'll talk about the Forrest Gump.
Yes. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg on The Garden Line. Having fun talking about camellias this morning. First of all, congratulations to Jessica Belcher. She won the two tickets to A Christmas Story at Pensacola Little Theater. Opening this weekend, we are going to be giving tickets away all day long on News Radio 92.3, so keep on listening for your cue to text to win more tickets. All right, we're right in the middle of the story of how Ray Gentry got its name.
All right, so when somebody has one of these seedlings that develops a bloom that is unique and different and they think is worthy of registering, and that's approved by the ACS, they have the right to name it. And they get named in one of two ways. They either name it after something that's very descriptive, like this one I'm holding here is a beautiful kind of a fuchsia and white called Spring Days.
That's exactly
spring,
what it looks
spring
like.
Spring Days.
Fits.
Yeah.
And this one is purplish, got a purple tint to it. A pointed, incurved petals, darker in the middle and then shading lighter to the outside. And it's called Purple Swirl. These
beautiful,
wonderful descriptive names. Then you have Ray Gentry.
That's why I wanted to know. You name it after someone. Okay.
You can name it after your mother, your child, that sort of thing.
I like the description.
And I'll add one more quick story. The flower that wins more camellia shows than any in the country year after year after year was developed by a man named Walter Homeyer. He grew up in Georgia. He grew lots of seedlings, and he had this seedling that started blooming, and his neighbor, buddy of his, looked at it and said, "Man, that's really nice." And Walter said, "I don't know. I'm not sure that it's really that good." And the guy said, "No, no, it's really good. You should register it and name it after me." Well, the number one winning bloom is named Frank Hauser.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
Didn't he play right field for the Brooklyn Tigers?
Yeah, that doesn't Frank sound like a flower at all. That's hilarious.
And you had a question
about... Yes, we had a question from someone that's a new gardener that wanted to know. They were asking, with hundreds of different choices, how do I pick 5 to 10 as a beginner wanting to plant as a shrub in front of my house?
Well, first, come to the show on Saturday, and I'll be outside selling camellias and with others talking about this sort of stuff. My first suggestion probably would be to use Sasanquas. And there's lots of different Sasanquas. They have their blooming or their growth habit tends to be bushy and kind of full. And they put on, when they bloom, it's almost like an azalea. They just put on a show. And they're easy. And I've seen lots of people use Sasanquas as a hedge. Mm-hmm. Works really well.
Okay.
A lot of the others, their growth habit really aren't conducive to that. They're nice landscape plants, but not hedge plants.
Right. Gotcha. Right. Okay. Exactly. Well, that's a place to start. So thank you so much for sending in the text. I don't have a name, but hopefully you can come out to the show this Saturday.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I say, I always use the example. I think you said it first, Skip, about someone who buys a new house, for example, in North Hill.
They inherit some plants.
That's true.
You know, they say, I don't know what I've got. I don't know how to take care of it. I don't even know what it is. That's probably an NCIS solution.
I love that
there.
Name.
Yeah. Skip, let's do this. We really are running out of time. Why don't we, for lack of a better word, kind of lightning round some of these blooms you've brought and kind of describe the plant and what they are.
Okay. I'll start with this one. I mentioned earlier that they come in different forms. There are technically 5 different forms of camellias: singles, semi-doubles, peonies, anemones, and what am I leaving out? At any rate, this one is an anemone, and by definition, it has an outer row of large petals, and then in the middle, it has a big boss of smaller petaloids.
Now, I'm not a flower expert. However, that looks a little bit like a gardenia to me.
Not to me. Nice try.
Well, I'm just throwing it in there.
At any rate,
because it's got the white and the glossy leaf, right?
Well, yeah. I'm talking more about the form on this one.
I gotcha.
One.
Okay.
And this one
I'll just be quiet on this.
Mrs. D.W. Davis Descanso. And Descanso is one of the premier camellia gardens in California. And this was a mutation that developed on Mrs. D.W. Davis, a completely different, unique form. So they named it Descanso.
Is the yellow coloration, is that natural, or is that just that particular bloom?
This on the outside? No, this is damage. This is cold damage.
Yeah, I was wondering if it might be.
Rain and cold damage on the very outer petals. They've gotten damaged. The inside is perfect with the boss of petaloids and yellow stamens.
Right, and that kind of goes to a minute ago we had that question.
Yes.
The answer, quite frankly, was some of that discoloration on the petals.
On the petals, right.
Was environmental.
Gotcha.
Okay. The weather.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Pep Talk on Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. We'll be back right after the break with more about camellias this morning on The Garden Line. You're listening to Pep Talk this morning and the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins and his guest, Skip Vogelsang. We're so happy to have him here as we talk about the Camellia Show going on this weekend on Saturday. Quick question here that someone just sent in. We bought a 5 to 6 foot camellia this weekend from Pensacola Seed and Garden. We live in North Cantonment on 7 acres. Our house faces north. First question, should we plant in ground or keep in the pot? Two, what side of the house should we be planting them on? Thanks. They're new to camellias, they said.
Okay. First of all, there's not many plants in the world that are happier in a pot than they are in the ground. And so this is a no-brainer for me. I'd put it in the ground, especially because it isn't like you're transplanting it where you're doing damage to the roots. You're just taking it out of the pot with a good root system and putting it in the ground. It'll be happier. Number two, I'd pay attention to the sun around your house. And, you know, in a perfect world, my camellias would get a half a day of full sun, half a day of filtered or shaded light. They will adapt to full sun all day long, but that's not usually their first choice. So pay attention to how the sun runs at your house, not worry so much about north, south, east, or west. If I could wave my magic wand, I would have all my camellias get full sun first half of the day and filtered sun the second half of the day.
Very good. Skip, talking about planting that plant outside, we've had some debate on the Garden Line. I agree and sometimes disagree with the experts. What soil amendments, since we have sandy soil that is relatively acidic, what amendments are you going to put into that hole in which you're going to plant that camellia?
Well, Mac Thedford, who's the PhD at University of Florida, who's in our club, horticulturist, his theory is, yeah, you can add some, you know, potting or soil from Lowe's or something, but when push comes to shove, that plant's going to have to adapt to the environment that it's in. And so it's really just a little bit of fertilizer once a year.
Okay. And very good.
We are out of time, gentlemen, but we need to have Skip come back.
Skip, thank you so much. We're going to work on a little contract with Skip after the show.
Yes, definitely.
To see if he'll come back, because we do have a lot of things that we
And real quick, the show, you got 5 seconds. The show this weekend.
This Saturday, Pensacola State College, 1 to 4.